Hello, hello.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
We're here.
Yes.
I'm excited about that.
Every week.
Every week.
We ain't going nowhere.
No, that's not true. We are. Because I'm not doing every week forever.
We're going to keep on keeping on.
So we might take a week off. Summer is usually around the time when we might take a week off.
It really is just that the travel schedule gets to be obnoxious.
Yeah, for sure. And we can't make it happen.
Yeah. Tiffany's travel schedule gets to be obnoxious. That's the issue.
I did just finish booking one of my big summer travel trips.
Care to give the exact address of where you're going?
Not. I'm going to take my mom and my best friend.
Okay.
And my best friend's mom, but not the best friend that's going.
Okay, I like that. Mix it up.
Match. Because it's a girl's trip. And so it's my guy best friend. He can't come. Yeah, but his mom can come. Yeah. Wasn't you. And it's not your mom. We're going to go to Paris.
Okay.
Nice. Cannes. So we're going to do Paris and the south of France.
Chris and Nice, Young Guns?
No, it's Chris and Neef, first of all. But we're going to do Paris in the south of France for her birthday, for both of their birthday. But it also happens to be during Cannes Lions, which is a festival of sorts that happens in Cannes.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a good time.
That sounds beautiful.
Turn up.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah, also I needed to bring an older person to keep my mom occupied while I'm in these streets.
Wow.
That's a really...
You're saying that your friend's mom is a decoy.
Yeah, to keep her company.
Wow.
For when I'm... So Paris is really...
That's a slap
Paris
in the
face.
Paris
is for the parents, right? We're going to sightsee.
Mm.
I got to sign up for... We're going to make croissants.
Wow.
Okay, we're going to do all the walking. I've been to Paris plenty of times, so it's really not that exciting for me, even though I do love it. I'm going to wear them out. When we hit the south of France,
Lord help me, listen, that's when the debauchery begins.
I'm outside.
Yeah?
So.
Okay.
But that's not what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
What we're talking about, listen, it's that time. You might be like, why are you talking about this? You've talked about this before. It's not the same, but the topic has to come up every year. Okay? Christmas happens every year. Easter happens every year. No one's ever like, you gonna do that again?
Easter again?
Jesus died again?
Yeah.
It's tax time.
It is tax time.
And what we have to talk about is every year the tax laws change.
It really does.
And you need to know how it affects you and what those changes are. And they're actually pretty significant this year. It speaks a lot to your wealth building strategy.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of y'all who are trying to evade taxes or do all these other things.
Hey.
It's a lot of things that you need to know.
Not our listeners.
That are working in your favor and that are not working in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to talk about it. And and as long as we have this podcast, every year we're going to do a tax episode.
Yeah, until they take the podcast away or we quit.
Word. That's a fact. And then you can just...
Yeah. Then your wealth building will be on your own.
Yeah.
We've left a lot.
DIY. If that happens, we've left a lot.
Yeah. I do want to know how long will podcasts be...
A thing?
No, not a thing. Let's say we stopped. In 10 years, is our stuff still going to be up there? In 20 years?
That's a good question.
Can I leave the podcast to my grandkids somehow?
That's a good question.
So they'll get to know me?
That's a great question.
We might have to just keep going just for that.
That's not true.
We're going to run out of stuff to talk about at that point.
No, there's new topics. There's new information every week, every day.
We should talk about investing. How about that?
No.
I'm having fun with it. So when it's not fun anymore, we'll stop. How about that?
Or when we get kicked off.
It's the internet.
That's a fact.
This is Al Gore and Beyonce's internet.
Our listeners might be like, please stop.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear y'all no more.
If one listener tells us to stop, we'll stop.
That's a lie. Listen, haters going to hate. Absolutely not one listener. If every time someone calls, they're like, y'all could wrap it up.
Yeah.
Then we'll wrap it up.
Y'all, I read the reviews on our podcast recently.
We have reviews? Oh, no, I do know we have reviews.
On Apple
Podcasts. Look at them, but are they good? I imagine they're good.
I just won't say anything. I just read them. That's all whatever. I'm saying.
We don't have. First of all, because I know you, if we had bad reviews, you would have sent it to me. You'd have screenshotted it to me. You'd have tried to find the person's address. How do we call them?
So we mostly have 5-star reviews. We have like 1 or 2 4s. And we got some ones. A couple of ones.
You're a lie. What's the one say? What's the one say? Did they leave any words? They just leave the one.
Nah, they have words.
Eating ass.
I don't want to upset you.
No, we here now.
All right. Hold on. You really want me to read
this? And I hope you're listening to the ones. Go ahead. Say their name.
Hold on.
Don't they give like the name and the first initial of the last name?
Yeah, or a nickname, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know this is the direction we were going in today, but we're here now. So first of all, how many reviews do we have?
Okay, we have 215.
Okay.
On Apple.
Okay.
Okay.
I love that.
I may or may not have written like 3 of them. Okay. Here's one bad one. This is a 2-star.
Here we go.
Okay. Oh, no. I'm sorry. No, I'm not picking on
fine.
You.
It's fine.
All right. I'm literally going to read this.
Let's read it. Say the name.
JM90. Oh, gosh. No, this is.
I can't read it.
I can't do
oh,
this.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Honestly, I can't listen to this anymore. The concept of the show is well-meaning, but one of the co-hosts, Tiffany, single-handedly ruins the experience for me every time. Where Alan is calm, collected, and well-prepared, Tiffany is a know-it-all with a very brash and condescending approach. I'm not going to read anymore.
No, why? I don't get offended by these things.
I don't like somebody talking about my co-host like that. That's not...
Okay, can I get one more?
Now, one more thing I will say. All right. I mean, who can forget the episode when she infamously advised listeners not to spend their stimulus checks at Red Lobster?
Oh, this is one of those trolls. Remember we had a period...
Now, somebody really wrote this, though.
No, I believe that. Remember when we did Don't Use Your Stimulus for Red Lobster?
Yeah.
And we got trolled hard on social media. And all of those people who hate the North Star, who hate Sean King, came at us so crazy. They left a comment on Twitter. I will never forget one of these comments. We got trolled real bad, and they were blowing up our social media, leaving bad reviews and saying bad things everywhere. But I remember one of the comments said, and this is how I knew this was a troll, and Tiffany's trying to sound African-American.
Oh, wow.
Like,
whatever that means,
and I am African-American. Yeah. But any others you'd like to share?
Okay. Excellent advice, but ... This is a 3-star. Update on my earlier review. I've been listening a lot to financial podcasts. They've been helpful in many ways, but I feel judged. I'm one of those people with huge student loan debt, and yet I still fund my 401k. I am middle class, but it's a 3-star for me. It's excellent advice, but it's way too chatty for me. Can you please cut to the chase a little sooner, please?
What's her name?
This person's name is Year1829. It's from 1 year ago. Yeah, everybody else is 5s though. Loves,
it's fine.
Informative, practical, listen, relatable, and
it's
useful.
It's all fine. No, we're not going to stop chatting.
But if one person tells us no, then we out.
Yeah, no, we're not going to stop chatting. I'm going to continue to be brash, if that's how you would describe me.
So I will say this. Like, I don't think that person is should have said that. But I think, like, people don't understand our dynamic, perhaps, and they might feel...
I think if you only listen to one podcast episode, you really don't understand our dynamic. And so if you've listened to multiple, I think you get an understanding for our personalities.
And I'll also say people are sexist, too. Like, to be honest, like, if I were doing your exact role, then people might hear it completely differently.
Probably.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, a woman being a certain way is viewed differently than a man being the same exact way.
Listen.
That's all I'm saying. So I don't like that.
It's fine.
But literally, we got mad 5-star reviews, and I'm happy about that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I did not know.
Leave us a review, by the way.
We're leaving
listeners,
reviews like
leave
this.
Leave us reviews.
So thank you very much for leaving reviews.
215
this
people.
This is not where we were going. We're supposed to be talking about taxes and changes that are happening in the tax
let's
world.
Let's get into it.
So
stop
let's
being
get
chatty.
Into it, because there's a lot of information, a lot of new information that is big, and you need to know, because we want you to use it to your advantage, and or it's some stuff that's going to let you down.
Yeah.
So first things first, big change.
Okay.
The tax deadline. This year, it's not April 15th. So typically, people are rushing, doing the most, trying to get their taxes done before April 15th. This year, April 15th falls on a Saturday. And that Monday is a holiday.
In D.C.
In D.C.
Yeah.
That the IRS does observe. So the tax deadline this year is Tuesday, April 18th.
Yeah.
They put some days on it.
Get some extra time.
Get some extra time.
Yeah. And one thing I do have to say about deadlines, though, sometimes it does happen where it doesn't fall on the 15th. I think last year it wasn't on the 15th.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I'm just going off memory.
It wasn't. But it wasn't the 18th.
Yeah, no, they threw an extra day on there. I don't even know what holiday that is in April.
It's DC holiday.
DC day? DC day.
DC okay, day.
I'll take it.
And we appreciate it. Also, victims of severe storms in California, Georgia, and Alabama actually have until May 15th to file their returns.
That's great. But here's one other thing, though, that business owners need to know, because I didn't know this until it was too late. If you've got an LLC, and a lot of folks have LLCs, or a C-Corp or an S-Corp, your tax return is due 30 days earlier. So it's not April 15th or 18th, it's March 15th. Businesses are always 30 days earlier.
There you go. Things that you need to know. Now, this thing that we need to talk about next, we got to bring it up because I feel like so many people were on our Instagram DMs, hitting us up on Twitter, asking us about this when they heard, and this was from the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021, when they heard that people were going to start getting 1099s for any online funds you received from like PayPal, Venmo, over $600. Social media had y'all worked up about this. Well, that was something that they were trying to pass, but they couldn't get all the logistics figured out because they were thinking about, I know a lot of times people have been at dinner together and it's like, listen, I'll put it on my card. You can just Zelle me your portion.
Yeah.
They were like, how do we figure out what's for payment, what's not? So they just delayed it all together. So as of now, you will not receive a 1099 for anything over $600 that you've received in online funds. The threshold remains at $20,000.
Good. That's an expensive dinner, by the way.
Listen, that's an expensive anything. If it's $20,000, you did something. You there was a service provided one way or the other.
How about 19 G's, Chief?
Listen, so now I know everybody was worried about that. You have nothing to worry about, at least not in 2023.
Facts.
Now, a lot of the big tax changes that are happening this year have to do with COVID.
Yeah.
Right? So we had a lot of tax changes because of COVID. The IRS has decided y'all straight.
Yeah. IRS is like, what COVID?
Yeah.
Like COVID is done. And
we're
going
to go back to the old school.
Yeah.
So a lot of things, there were a lot of good things, a lot of great changes that they made during COVID just for relief. They're like, y'all are now relieved.
Yeah.
It's over with.
Yeah.
So first things first, the amount of the child tax credit, the CDC, the earned income tax credit, the EITC, and the child dependent care credit are now rolling back to what they were pre-COVID. So during COVID, the child tax credit for any child under the age of 17 was $3,600 per child. That was during COVID.
Yeah.
It's back down to $2,000 per
child.
Now
that's big. And I'm upset about that because I have three children and 1,600 times three
is $4,800.
I was going to say it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yo, you're good at math.
So
I give it up to you.
That has changed.
So I thought this was an always moving forward thing. Like they finally putting respect on our name as parents.
Listen, they didn't know. They didn't know. They thought like, well, listen, this COVID thing could go on forever. We don't know how this is going to change society. But they're like, oh, y'all outside? Y'all at work? Okay, we're going to roll it back.
But that's significant. Hold on, because my kids are now a lot less valuable to me.
Well, first
now.
Of all, let's be clear. Your kid is about to be over the age of 17 in 1 week.
Oh,
so you're already off.
So I lost $4,800 plus an extra something.
$2,000. So the $2,000 you would have got, you're not going to get anymore.
Yeah, I think I'm going to mush the mess out of my kids when I get
home
tonight.
Oh my gosh. So the earned income tax credit, the EITC, in 2021 was $1,500.
This is the EITC if you don't have children.
Correct.
Yeah.
It is now down to $500.
Yeah, and that's for low income folks. And it's lower by a lot.
And the other one, this is huge.
Now,
hold your breath.
I'm swole right
Hold
now.
Your breath. The child and dependent care credit has now returned to pre-COVID levels. During COVID, there was an $8,000 maximum. You could claim up to $8,000 on your children or anyone who was dependent upon you.
Yeah, that was a credit. You got $8,000, eight G's.
It is now down to pre-COVID numbers, $2,100.
Yeah, and here's where a lot of people get over. I'm not one of these people, but I've heard, okay, if you got your kid in private school, a lot of people use that tuition to get this child care credit. You know, like, I don't know if you know anyone with their kids, like, in private school or anything like that.
You,
but
I'm looking at you right now. All three of your kids are in private school.
And so for them,
y'all,
that's a big...
You got ERC, so you're fine.
Whatever. But one thing on this note about these credits going away and going back, like some of these things that were raised one time and now they're going back to their old levels, the IRS has already said they expect tax refunds to drop this year.
Yeah.
So last year, the average refund was $3,176. The year prior, it was $2,791. So we're heading back to the $2,000 range for that average refund.
So for a lot of people, you felt these tax credits probably for the last two, possibly 3 years, but mm-hmm. that is over with.
Yeah.
It was for 20 and 21. In this year, you are filing for 2022, and all of these things have disappeared. They were not renewed.
Yeah. One other thing about that child tax credit is that it's no longer refundable, meaning that it used to be, like, before COVID, if I owed, let's say, $5,000 in taxes and I got a $2,000 credit, then I would get the full benefit. But if I had no tax liability, I would get $0 back.
I don't like that.
During COVID, they said, look, even if you got zero liability, we're still going to give you the cash
exactly.
as a refund.
Exactly.
Well, now they're going back to the old rules. If you don't have a tax liability, then that child tax credit is no longer refundable.
That's whack.
Yeah.
Other things that they're rolling back or just changing altogether. So during COVID, they created a system where remote workers who lived out of state could avoid double taxation.
Yeah, because if you live in one place, you're taxed there. If you work in another place, then you're taxed there too.
Right. In 2020 and 2021, a lot of states enacted a temporary relief provision to avoid double taxation of income by two states. Well, most of those states have deaded that. So now if you continue to live, so for a lot of people in COVID, we all went remote. So for some people, they were like, well, I don't need to live in an expensive city anymore. I don't need to be near my job. I don't need to be in New York City. I don't need to be in LA to work in LA. So let me move somewhere else that's more cost effective.
Like Baltimore.
Sure. Okay. Or that gives you more land. I know a lot of people like move to upstate New York or move to the Midwest, kept these really high paying jobs, but move to places that have lower cost of living.
Charlotte.
Sure. Charlotte, all of the things. Well, now, if you stay there, if you are living there, you're not going back to the city or state where your job was, you have to pay two taxes now. You have to pay two state taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, New York, New Jersey has always had this rule where because we're so close to each other, they would basically always have reciprocity. And so basically a lot of other states started to do that same reciprocal thing. And now they're like, nah, bump it. We going back to the old ways. You pay taxes in both places.
Yeah. So there are other states that are like this. Also Delaware, you mentioned New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. They have something called this convenience rule. Mm-hmm. And it is because a lot of people work nearby. Like for us, Philly is an hour away. New York City is less than an hour away. So because we live in New Jersey, if we wanted to work in New York, which our office is and we're headquartered in New York, or if we wanted to work in Pennsylvania, we would not have to deal with this double taxation because of the convenience rule. But states like Connecticut
clap back,
and they have a retaliatory convenience rule levied only against states that have a convenience rule. So they're like, oh, New York, you want to let people off the hook. So since you want to let people off the hook, I want to put them back on.
Yeah,
it's literally so only petty. Four states that have this convenience rule.
It's so petty.
You gonna pay these Connecticut taxes regardless. But either way, unless you're in Delaware, New York, Pennsylvania, and I think Nebraska, you will now have double state taxation.
Yeah.
That's a huge change.
Yeah. Because typically, if you're in one of these convenience places, you end up effectively paying just the higher tax rate.
Right.
So like New York's higher than New Jersey, so I have to file taxes in both states, but effectively I'm just paying New York. So another change is around PMI. Like people hate PMI. PMI is when you have a mortgage and you didn't have enough equity, so the mortgage bank requires you to buy PMI, which is private mortgage insurance. And they used to allow you to write that mortgage insurance off as an itemized deduction. No more. That's gone. Scratch it.
Yeah. And what happened was, so this was enacted under Section 419 of the Tax Relief and Healthcare Act of 2006. And it would get extended every year, right? So you're like, well, 2006 was pre-COVID. Correct. And every year they would vote on it. And every year they'd be like, absolutely. Especially in COVID. We definitely need to have this happen. Well, they've decided, no, They voted on it and they were like, we don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's gone.
They're trying to close that budget gap.
Is there, listen, that, stop spending so much money.
No, we're going to raise your taxes with little cuts such like this.
Yeah, and so as Alan mentioned earlier, these are a lot of different ways where if you were expecting a larger tax refund, it's a lot of slicing and dicing happening. A lot of things that you're not going to get as much credit for, or they're not allowing you to write off. So stick with us. We got a lot more to talk about. It's not all bad, though. So we have some good news coming. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. So we're back?
Yes.
We're talking about taxes.
Taxes.
We have to talk about it. Listen, you're grown, you work, you have to pay taxes. You're supposed to pay taxes. Now, what you do or don't do, keep it to yourself. But if you are paying taxes, there are some major changes to a variety of tax laws, and we need you to know all about it.
Is it true that you're going to publish your tax returns like Trump?
What? Did Trump? Yes, exactly. I'm going to publish mine just like he did.
Okay.
100%.
Got it. All right, go on.
100%. You talked about a lot of cuts that you may feel this year in your tax refund. Here's another one. So for taxpayers this year filing their 2022 tax returns, any charitable contributions must be itemized under the Schedule A form to get a deduction.
Now, here's what's messed up about this, right? So like a lot of charities, it was a windfall in 2020 when a new rule was enacted where you could actually write off charitable deductions even if you didn't qualify for itemized deductions. Well, they got rid of that. And unfortunately, I think a lot of charities are going to lose out on donations moving forward. Like if you gave it in 2022, you might not have known that they weren't going to have this deduction anymore. But when you find out, there's somebody out there that's going to be like, well, I ain't giving anymore. And that's unfortunate. Now, they only allowed you to write off like $300. It wasn't like a lot of money, but it was something, right? And it was special that even if you didn't itemize, you could still write off the charities. Now you've got to itemize. And for a lot of people, they don't have enough deductions to itemize. So they're probably losing some of their charitable write-offs.
So that's been all bad. That was all bad. We had to get the bad stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
Okay. We need you to hear it up front because it's a lot of good coming also.
Okay.
I'm kind of excited about some of these big changes.
You don't often hear about good changes to the tax code. So I'm all ears.
Oh, this year is up, right? So first things first, listen, IRS is like, it's inflation, not a game. So they have put together some Inflation Reduction Act tax breaks, right? Ooh. They recognize that Americans are feeling the pinch from rising prices. So they're like, listen, we're not about to do the same thing to you. Matter of fact, we're about to create areas. There's a lot of adjustments that have been made around taxpayers and their tax rate.
You can make more money and potentially pay less in taxes now.
Yes.
So they raise the amount of money you can make. I'll give you some examples. So let's say you make, how much do you make, Tiffany? Just make a, not you, but right, a person. Let's say Rhonda. How much does Rhonda make?
Rhonda. I like Rhonda. Rhonda makes 180.
Okay. Rhonda, she makes 180. So a year ago, Rhonda would be in the 32% tax bracket.
So that's how much she would have paid of her income. 32% of her income would have gone towards taxes.
And that's just federal.
Damn, Rhonda. Rhonda also works in California, but she lives in Arizona. She got two taxes, two state taxes.
Lord help Rhonda.
But in 2023, because they've changed the income brackets.
Rhonda still makes 180.
Right. Still makes 180.
Her tax bracket is now 24%.
Damn.
Come on, Rhonda.
That's 8%. Rhonda gets to keep 8% of her income?
Yeah.
Okay, Rhonda.
Rhonda just got upgraded. She might qualify now.
Okay, Rhonda.
Yeah.
So
she might be able to break up with Harold now.
Rhonda and Harold, that's quite a couple. Sounds like a very responsible and astute couple.
She was only with them because her tax rate was so high, she couldn't afford to be without them.
Rhonda's petty. If that's how you operate, then keep
but that
paying more
8%
taxes.
Raise.
So across the board, they have changed the income brackets around taxes. It is very, very meaningful. We're not going to go through all the numbers on air, but we will post it on Instagram and on Twitter. But this is something that you really, really want to understand. $180,000 is a meaningful income.
Yeah, it is.
For sure. And so to pay 8% less in federal taxes annually, that's a huge deal.
Facts.
There's a lot of other big shifts as well. So oftentimes we get clients or prospects who reach out to us and they're like, oh, I'm about to get this promotion and I know I'm going to make it into the next tax bracket. So now I'm going to pay a lot more in taxes. Yeah. You got a lot more grace now. And so this is beneficial. This is good news.
Yeah, absolutely.
Making more money, paying less taxes.
So another one that is in your favor.
Oh, boy.
The standard deduction went up.
Yeah.
Now, the standard deduction, again, this is like I got to break down taxes for a second. So Rhonda made $180,000.
Okay, Rhonda.
Okay.
Did she break up with Harold?
They broke up.
Okay.
She was heartbroken for like one day, and then now she's in the streets. Thotting. She's out there.
Rhonda?
Okay.
You was low. Okay.
Rhonda's now dating guys and girls.
What?
Yeah. That's how good it was to her.
You about to get a bad review.
Listen. No. So let's go back to taxes. So you can either itemize your deductions or you can take the standard deduction. Right? Itemizing the deductions is when you try to come up with enough things that could exceed the standard amount.
That's when you pull out that shoebox with all the receipts in it.
Now, the things that go on your itemized deductions, your state taxes that you pay, not like sales tax, but, you know, the stuff that gets deducted from your paycheck, your mortgage interest, that gets deducted, your property taxes get deducted, your charitable donations get deducted. And other things like miscellaneous items, like if you spent money on business expenses for work, but you didn't get reimbursed.
This one, y'all be trying to write off your gas.
Yeah.
That you put in your car. Like that's
they
that's
made you drive
is.
To Arizona, but you live in, you know, New Mexico, and they ain't give you that reimbursement. That will go on an itemized deduction. Other things like your medical expenses will go on there. So like you try to add up as much of this stuff as possible. Let's say it only adds up to like 6,000. That's right. So Rhonda makes 180. She only could itemize up to 6,000. The government says, you know what? Just take the standard amount. And for a single person, the standard amount last year was 12,950. And now they've raised it to 13,850.
Okay.
So by giving you a bigger standard deduction, it means that Rhonda's coming out ahead.
Okay.
Like even that. If she can't itemize.
I like that.
And then the same thing happened for married couples. So the standard deduction used to be $25,900, and now it's $27,700. So
I
meaning
like this.
An extra two G's for the married couples, almost like $1,000 each.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah. And that's money that you're not paying. So it also means like if you are a young person, you're working your first job, and you are no longer on your parents' tax return anymore, if you make $13,000 in your internship, you pay no tax on that.
I see you. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really good. That's really good. Another thing, they've increased the credit for solar energy products. So if you have installed solar heating, solar panels, any type of solar products for your home, you used to receive a 26% tax credit on what you paid. Now they've raised it to 30%.
Yeah.
So 30% of what you've paid to add any type of solar component to your house, you will receive in a credit.
Did I tell you I have solar panels?
Didn't get them last year.
I did get them.
When did I was 21.
When did I get them?
Roll it back. Might have been 20. You did not get them this year. It was either 2020 or 2021.
Yeah. Well, I need to give them extra 4%. So,
Yeah. Another big change that happened is so before you only got the tax credit if you did the solar panels on your primary home. You would not get the tax credit if you did it for an investment property. Now you get the credit on any home that you own. So if it's an investment property, if you've done 4 investment properties where you've added solar panels, you get a tax credit on all 4.
Joe Biden cares about the environment.
Yes.
That's what he's saying through the tax code.
Yes. And to that point, there's now new eligibility for electrical vehicles. So I know oftentimes for anybody who's bought a Tesla, when you go online to look at the price, you build your Tesla, they bake in this discount to make it seem like the car costs less than it actually does. And it's like, oh, well, you're going to save $2,000 in gas and a tax credit. Well, you don't know, but now they have created what they call the Qualified Plug-in Electric Drive Motor Vehicle Credit with a maximum of $7,500. So if you bought your car in 2022, you can file for the electric vehicle tax credit.
So Biden is the plug-in.
Right. He is the plug-in.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people are upset about this stuff.
Why?
People who are in the oil and gas industry.
Okay.
Who feel like Biden is really punishing them and helping out.
Here's the thing. Global warming is clearly very real. We've had a very mild winter. There has been a lot of issues, a lot of climate issues. Global warming is a very real thing.
Yeah.
The profitability of you and your oil rigs and all of that, I do feel like has to take a backseat to just being alive. No?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, not everyone believes that there is global warming. And by the way, I'm not one of these people.
You better not be.
Yeah, we have some clients. So we have some conservative Republican clients in our client base. And we just listen, Yeah, okay. Oh, wow. Really? That's how you feel?
So, yeah, because Alan, he doesn't just listen. He pushes, like, in that, like, they're saying how they feel, which every client is allowed to say how they feel. And all of our clients do not have the same views as us. And that's perfectly welcome. But Alan, like, wants to know more. He's like, really? Mm. So what are your views on that?
Because I want to get to a point where I could push back.
Okay.
Yeah, like the other day I was talking to one of my Trump clients, and this notion of like defunding the police came up. And he's going on and on and on about why we need law and order, right? And I'm like, well, there are also times when folks get wrongfully incarcerated. His presumption is that happens like so rarely. I'm like, dude, I could name 10 cases right now where folks have done not 5 years, not 6 years, 20, 30, 40 years. I can name a case where a police officer literally planted bloody garments in one of our clients' homes because he was trying to get him back for something that he did in the street, like that had nothing to do with that crime. And so when you add that lens to it, like you can't say that the police should just be out here unchecked do whatever they want to do. So I will push back when it gets to a point where I feel like it's going too far.
Okay. Listen, yeah. I'm not mad at your strategy. So we've talked about a lot of good things that are happening, a lot of income bracket changes, yes. Some really great credits, increase in the standard deduction. Now this is where things start to get spicy. So there's a lot of changes when it comes to taxes and contributions around retirement savings. So many times, you guys have heard this from us a million times over. I know it's not sexy, but if you are interested in investing and taking it seriously and really building your wealth, you need to start in your retirement accounts.
Yeah.
That's where the growth really, really happens. And that's what you want to take advantage of, whether there's a match or not, because of the tax benefit.
Yeah. And those benefits just got a little bit larger.
They got a little bit larger.
Because they raised the contribution limits on 401ks, also 403bs, 457s, and the TSP from $20,500 to $22,500. So that went up by an extra
$2,000.
A little extra two G's on it. But wait, it gets better. What about for our brothers and sisters who are above the age of 50? They used to give you an extra $6,500 that you could contribute. Now it's an extra $7,500.
An extra $1,000. This is meaningful.
So that means combined, you can now put in $30,000 if you're over 50 into your retirement plan at work.
Before, you could only put in $27,000 if you were over the age of 50.
Yeah.
I think that's meaningful.
Because people need to catch up. Like a lot of folks waited too late to get started with their retirement.
Yeah. Or a lot of folks didn't make enough income to be able to fully contribute the way that they wanted to.
That's true.
And once they made a career switch or got a promotion or did whatever they had to do, they are now like, listen, I want to fast track this. I want to make sure I have a strong retirement. I want to flood this account as much as humanly possible.
And they also raised the limit for IRAs.
Yes.
You know, an individual retirement account is for the person that doesn't have access to an employer-sponsored plan. I mean, really, you could still do an IRA if you are in an employer-sponsored plan, but a lot of folks don't have access to one. So instead of $6,000 as the max, it's now $6,500. Why don't you go ahead and put an extra $500 down on it?
Yeah, I like that. That works.
And if you're over 50, an extra $1,000 on top of that.
Yeah, that remained the same. It was $1,000 last year, too.
Yeah, but still, it's still extra. Okay. $7,500 now.
All right. Okay. I'm not mad at it.
Like, if you were 49 last year and you could just do six, now you're 50, you could do $7,500.
Listen.
Like, you're feeling good.
Ball out.
I ain't mentioned this, but Rhonda was over 50.
She definitely needs to stay with Harold.
Yeah, but I'm saying she could save more. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And this also impacts solo 401ks. And a solo 401k is a 401k plan for a person that's a small business owner and they don't have any employees. They're the only employee that they have. So they've raised the amount that you can put away. And when you have a solo 401k, you're not just putting in your own contribution. You're also putting in your employer match. And so now when you add it all up, you can max out at like $66,000 between the combination of both the employee and the employer contribution.
I like that. That works for me.
That's cheese. That's a lot of money. Yeah, that same thing worked for SEP plans, self-employed pension plans. Same thing, $66,000.
Yeah, so there's also higher income limits for Roth IRA contributions.
That's big. Yeah, that's big. So Roth IRAs, we love Roth. Like, we've had whole love affair conversations about my man Roth and how Roth made a way for us to be able to double our money and not pay tax on that.
Roth or walks so we could run.
You see what I'm saying?
We love Roth.
So they've made it a little easier for folks to qualify to be able to contribute to a Roth. So starting this year, if you're single, you can contribute up until you make about $153,000.
That is a big deal.
Yeah, they start to phase out how much you can contribute once you make over 138. But again, you can still contribute to a Roth up to 153. And if you're married, now it's up to $228,000 for the married filing joint couple. And again, it starts to phase out around 218. So now you can be like legitimately in the six figures and still doing a Roth contribution.
That's really meaningful, because the thing that we love about Roth is even though you put in after-tax dollars, you have no tax on the capital gains. And so you can make more money and benefit even more on not paying taxes.
Yeah, that's a fact. So we should talk about the Secure Act 2.0.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because that Secure Act 1, it was all right.
But you know, the
2.0, come on.
We like that 2.0. That's absolutely something that we need to talk about, but we got to talk about it after break. So I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
Oh man, I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from six different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
Momentum. So we are back.
Yes.
Still talking about taxes.
Yeah.
It's just something you got to do.
Why you got to say it reluctantly? We love taxes.
Oh, no, we don't. No, we don't.
Speak we love talking about taxes.
We love talking about taxes because it's a necessary evil.
That's a fact. Speaking of necessary evil, my son.
Oh, my God.
Not him.
Wait a minute.
Not him. My son wants to be a filmmaker.
Okay, shout out to him.
But every day,
Spike Boomer.
Every day he comes home from school, the first thing he wants to do is turn the news on.
Boomer Fuqua.
He wants to watch the news all night, all
day. It's inspiration. It's inspiring. It's inspiring.
Like,
it's inspiring him for stories, for things that he's going to come up with.
You know, as a 17-year-old, you shouldn't be getting excited about the news. That's all I'm saying. And if you are excited about the news, I don't know, maybe study journalism. Maybe law. This Joker's about to spend all my money on film.
He might do like biographical documentaries.
Yeah. He doesn't want that though.
You don't know that.
But I guess for me, the connection is like, you're not excited to talk about taxes, but I am. He's excited about the news.
Okay.
Very simple.
Just stop hating.
Yeah.
Stop hating. All right. So we're still talking about taxes. And I like to feel like most of the news that we've given out is good news. Right? Yeah. We started off by giving the bad.
Yeah, your refund's going to be lower than it was last year. Sorry.
But if you have a tax strategy in place, you recognize there's a lot more that you can gain.
Oh, yeah.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
So we're excited that we lost some things in 2023, but we gained some things as well as far as taxes. So you mentioned Secure 2.0.
I sure did.
Which talks about RMDs, required minimum distributions. Mm-hmm. These are distributions that you have to take out of your retirement savings once you hit a certain age. And the reason why they are making you take it out is because they want them tax dollars. They're like, listen, you're not going to sit around and bankroll all this money. We want some of it. And once you hit a certain age, you got to start giving us some taxes on it.
Yeah, and it used to be 70. Then they raised it to 72. But Secure Act 2.0, it shifts the age up to 73 for this year. And by 2033, 75.
First of all, 2033 is far as hell.
You'll make the cut. Okay?
2030, be happy. It's supposed to be like, oh, this will be by 2023. And then by 2024, we'll be at 75. 2033.
You'll make the cut. See, here's the issue is like our government has a major problem. Like they spend way more money than what they bring in. And so they want to, they're walking a fine line because on one hand, they want to make sure that folks are better prepared financially. But on the flip side, they got to make sure they can pay their bills, right? Like that's why this year, one of the big debates is going to be about this debt ceiling. Like unless Congress raises the debt ceiling, the government has to shut down. So they can't just come in here and just make it 75 tomorrow because they've already budgeted that folks are going to be making their required distributions and they're going to get those taxes. So they got to push it out a little bit.
That debt ceiling, that's like a them problem. That don't really...
No, it impacts...
I didn't spend that money.
You kind of did.
Did I?
You drove on that road.
I didn't receive no stimulus.
That's because you are a high-income earner. Okay?
Listen.
You need to go have some kids.
Oh, no. Not now. Especially not now. Y'all not even bankrolling the way y'all were.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. So, yeah, the RMDs, the required distribution for IRA holders, is being pushed to older ages, which helps you to hold on to that money a little bit longer. Go ahead and work till you're 75, bro.
Yeah, that allows that money to grow. And again, it allows you not to have to increase your tax bill by taking out money that you might not need just yet.
Now, this next one is really, really big. And we need to talk about this. Okay. We've never talked about this before.
Let's talk about
it. Like when you buy a stock or a building or any investment, there's and you sell it in the future and you make a gain.
Right. So if it appreciates, you invest in something, it appreciates, it's worth more money later.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I want some of that money. I don't want to sell it.
Yeah. And let's assume you held it for at least a year.
Okay.
Right. If you hold it for at least a year, you qualify for what's called long-term capital gains. Now, years ago, there was only one tax bracket for long-term capital gains until Obama came in. Obama came in and he mixed things up a little bit.
Shout out to Obama.
So the long-term capital gains rate used to just be a flat 15%.
So instead of paying your ordinary tax rate, so what used to happen is if you sold an investment, like as Alan mentioned, you held it for a year and then you sold it in a profit, you would have to pay your ordinary tax. That 37%, that 24% that Rhonda now pays, whatever your tax bracket is, you would have to pay that same amount on the profit of that investment. Now, if it's a long-term capital gains, long-term meaning you held that investment for more than a year, it used to be a flat 15%. So you did not have to pay your ordinary tax rate. So that's already good. Shout out to former President Obama.
And he implemented some new tax brackets. He basically said it's not fair for the person making $60,000 a year who's scrapping and struggling and trying to survive and they manage to save some capital to invest, why are they paying the same rate that Brother Warren Buffett is paying?
Facts.
And so Obama came up with three tiers for capital gains taxes, for long-term capital gains tax. It's kind of like the low income, the middle income, and the high income bracket. And the rates are 0, 15, or 20.
Okay.
And we've never really talked about that zero bracket. But there's a lot of people who, if they bought and sold stock and made a gain, they pay 0% in tax. We've never really talked a ton about that. So the change this year is that they've increased that threshold of how much money you can make and still qualify for the 0% tax bracket. So the amount. You can make as a single person up to $44,000 a year and not pay any money in capital gains tax, 0% for buying and selling stock.
And realistically, that $44,000 a year that you made in income has nothing to do with what you profited in your investments. So if you work and you made $40,000 a year, but you had some really great investments and you were able to make $1 million in the market, you pay zero capital gains tax.
Hey, I'll take that. So here's who really benefits from that. Imagine you are a new college grad and you're not making that much money. And so you're like, man, I don't really have a lot, but I do want to invest. I want to dabble. I want to get my toes wet. Well, you get the great benefit. It's almost like a Roth IRA, right? Like you're not paying any tax on the gains. That's really powerful. Another time where it might benefit someone, let's say you're in transition. Like I went to business school full time. And when I went to business school, I had lower income because I wasn't working for a big part of the year. And so that would have been a great time to take advantage of that 0% capital gains rate. So I'm saying there's a lot of people that should know about this rate because the tax code is designed to nudge you towards certain activities. And what they're saying is that for the lower income person, here's a little incentive for you to be an investor.
Here's a scenario that I think about. I think about the retired person, the older person who isn't working anymore, who has put a lot of money away in retirement savings and isn't working anymore. They might work part-time, they might do some consulting. So they're not bringing in a lot of earned income, but their investments are popping.
Yeah.
That's the person that I think about. The person who doesn't necessarily need to earn a lot of additional income for whatever the reason is. You've inherited a ton of money, you sold a business, you made a lot of money earlier and you invested it and put it away. Now, when you sell some, you have zero capital gains tax.
Yeah.
That is very big. And for some people, that may feel like a cop-out for the millionaires and billionaires out there who don't necessarily have to make money every single year. But it is what it is. These strategies are how people create and build wealth, understanding these tax codes, understanding these tax treatments. So many times people are like, listen, how do I get out of paying taxes? Or why do the rich not have to pay tax? This rule right here is a big reason why some people who have a lot of money don't have to pay a lot of taxes.
And that middle bracket, that 15% bracket, that's for folks that make between $44,000 and $492,000 per year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Between $44,000
and
$492,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Pretty wide.
Yeah, that's a big gap for sure. And so you would pay a 15% rate. And if you make over $492,000, you pay 20, and you should pay 20.
I feel you.
You should pay 24. Hey, we'll take 20.
Okay.
And then if you're married filing jointly, the numbers are higher. So that 0% bracket is up to $89,000 in income.
Wow.
Right? So imagine
So now this is what I'm seeing. I got a stay-at-home wife.
Okay.
Right? I used to work a lot. I started a company. I sold it.
Okay.
And I invested all that money.
A stay-at-home husband works too, but go ahead.
Nah, I don't do that. So if you have a stay-at-home wife.
Okay.
And, you know, as the other party in the relationship, you just do a little consulting, right? You've made all your money, you're good, it's invested, you feel good about it. If it's under $89,000,
yeah,
y'all pay zero capital gains tax.
Yeah, that's a good
deal.
You could
just be out there selling your stock off.
Yeah, you really could.
With no tax implication.
Yeah, or let's say, you know, this is a real scenario. Imagine grandfather was very successful in the stock market and has a bunch of stock that he paid very little for. Now it's worth a lot. He can gift a certain amount of stock to his grandkids and they can sell the stock at 0% gains compared to the big tax bill that he would have if he sold the stock. So a lot of implications to this 0% tax bracket, and I'm glad we talked about it.
Yeah, 100%. So while people don't love taxes, no one really wants to pay taxes. If you understand the tax law and how it changes every year, you can see these areas where it will benefit you. You can create tax strategy ahead of time so that you're not caught off guard or you feel taken advantage of come April. Understanding these rules, understanding your personal tax code, because all the stuff doesn't apply to you. You might not have kids, you might not be a high income earner, you might not be a low income earner, whatever the situation is, but understanding your personal tax code and how it changes really helps you in your overall tax strategy to help you determine where to put your investments, how to invest, and the things that you need to take advantage of.
Yeah. And listen, we gave some really good advice today, but talk to your professional, your CPA, your tax person, because you really need to understand how these changes impact you. You talked about, Tiffany, your personal tax code, right? It's going to be different for everybody, and you want to understand which moves you need to make because there's not a one-size-fits-all to your tax planning.
So hopefully this wasn't horrible.
Go ahead and give us 5 stars, y'all.
Or just don't give us a review
at all. And say something nice about Tiffany.
You don't have to listen. I feel great. You don't have to worry about that.
All right. Say something nice about me. Shucks.
Yeah. Alan needs it.
100%. I don't mind. Yes, yeah. I do.
We'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Show.